chatting to Mark Pulgrim. You walked in with your own headphones.
I'm like a mechanic that brings his own spanners.
Why is that?
Because I'm a germaphobe. I don't like wearing other headphones. I think in my 25 years of radio, I have worn someone else's headphones maybe twice in 25 years.
But the germs are also on the pop cap.
Well, I know, but they're not. I've got to try and reduce what I can. I can't bring my own pop cap, but I can bring my own headphones.
So because I only close my one ear because I like still hearing on the ear. You close both your ears?
I do.
Okay.
For people that don't know what we're talking about, I've got both caps on my ears. You've got one exposed.
Have you seen the series You on Netflix and the headphones?
You, that's with that psycho guy, isn't
it? Yeah.
I've watched the first season.
Okay. So then I'm not going to give it away because in the second season, there's a pair of headphones that actually gives a lead to something.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's a nice pair of cans anyway.
But I like having my own headphones. They've got their own sound as well. You know, you put on a different pair of headphones, it's got a different sound. And being a radio DJ, you get used to a certain sound.
Right.
And I'm learning. I put on other headphones, I get thrown.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, but hi. Good to see you. I love you.
I love you back.
Can I tell you why I love you?
Why?
You are a bundle of positive energy.
Mark.
And it truly is remarkable because, you know, that's your intention for the day. You set your intention, the positivity, and it's drawn to you.
But kindness will save you.
Mm.
It will. And it will make you money too. And it will save your marriage. And it will save your children. And it will save your job.
Energy goes where attention flows. No, yeah. Energy flows where attention goes.
Energy. Just positive.
There we go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Choose happiness. Happiness is a choice.
Is it?
Happiness is a choice. You can wake up in the morning, something might happen, but you can still choose to be grumpy about it, or you can say, I won't deny it happened, but I still choose to be happy.
So it's very hard. I'm glad you say this. It's very hard for some people to make that shift, right?
Mm.
So it is said that the human will still, the brain will still force itself to be unhappy or to be sad. But you have to still remind it that you can be happy. You can. So it's not as quickly as that. It will take time, but you have to remind your brain that you can be happy. Yeah. Mm.
It's a paradigm shift that you need to do.
Mm.
But if you choose the positive, life will be a lot happier.
It will be easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a conclusion every morning? Like when you get up and you leave the house, is this something that gets you going? Like, do you pray, meditate?
I have started meditating. No, I have. Because I always used to think meditation was, you know, hippie, you know, roby,
no.
Kind of Woodstocky. There's an app called Butterfly.
Yeah.
And they've got the most amazing meditations. They can be 3 minutes. They can be 10 minutes. They're categorized when you're waking up, when you're going to sleep, when you're stressed. And the first time I heard one of those meditations, I thought, this is so normal. It's just someone saying, just breathe in and out, you know, feel your fingers, feel your toes. And I thought, I can do that.
Yeah.
And it really helps. And also what I do, being a gadget guy, when I leave my apartment, I say goodbye to Alexa. Now, I'm an Apple guy, but I do have Alexa. And Alexa says to me, she says, well, she also switches off my lights and the TV.
I didn't know she can do that.
Oh, she can. She's very clever. And then she says, and remember, Mark, your attitude determines your altitude. That's what she says every time I leave the house.
Listen, I've got so much to ask you.
Okay, shoot.
This is a podcast about your career and you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be chatting to you.
I'm very proud of you. You've worked for every radio station in the country.
A couple of them. It's like a radio in South Africa is like a chessboard, and there's a certain amount of moves you can make. It's a finite amount of moves.
Tell me about your first move.
Voice of it.
You really?
Yes.
Okay, so you finished school?
I finished school. I always wanted to be on radio. So when I was small, before your time, I used to listen to a bloke called David Gresham.
Wow.
And David Gresham did the Springbok Radio Top 20.
Yes.
Keep your feet on the ground, reach for the stars, top of the countdown. Oh, it's number 1, 1, 1, 1, 1.
Wow.
And I used to listen to that as a 12-year-old going, oh, one day I would love to do a countdown.
Where were you listening when you were a child? Where were you listening to?
I was in a small town when I came to South Africa at the age of 9. I moved to a small town called Creel in Mpumalanga. And I had got my first little Sharp radio and I tuned in to Springbok Radio. And I used to listen to David Gresham. And just to jump forward, because I don't know if you want to go in chronological order, but in 2012, I won the radio award for best music show
in South Africa.
For the chart show I was doing at the time, Take 40 SA.
Yeah.
Which was on simultaneously on two neighboring radio stations. And I get a call from David Gresham saying, well done, let me take you for lunch.
Wow.
And I get goosebumps when I talk about it because that for me was one of the highlights of my radio career. The person that inspired me when I was so small, phoning me up saying, well done, let me take you for lunch.
What do you think is it about radio that attracts people? I mean, I have millions of people, a lot of youngsters saying to me, you know what, I really want to be in radio. I really want to speak. What do you think it is? What is it for you that makes you want to switch the mic on, purchase really expensive headphones, and broadcast and speak?
People ask me what I do. And I'll go back to the story of, and I'm probably botching the story slightly, when they were trying to put a man on the moon.
Yeah.
The president at the time was walking through NASA asking various people what they did. And he came to the janitor and he said to the janitor, what do you do? And the janitor looked at him and said, I help put a man on the moon. And that's what I think you have to do when people ask you what you do. I'm a radio DJ. I'm a voice artist, blah, blah, blah. What I do is hopefully I inspire people to have a smile as they listen to the radio and go about their day. Mm. That's what I do for a living.
Wits, Voice, what was your next move?
From Voice of Wits, 5FM. I had a lucky break at 5. In fact, Pick and Pay Norwood, the hyper, turned me down as an in-store announcer. So I'm grateful, otherwise I'd be telling you about a special on Butterfish in aisle 5. But 5FM at the time, I'd been auditioning for 8 years. Everyone turned me down, and I just never gave up. And 5FM were looking for someone to do Weekend Graveyard.
Why did you go back? What kept you knocking on their door and saying, choose me?
It was a dream I had as a kid. And then what happened was, just after I was with Voice of Wits, I fell ill. I had cancer. And it was a quote by Benjamin Franklin. He said, some people die at 25 and are only buried at 75. And that was a realization for me, to cut a long story short, that if I was going to get through this disease and survive, I was going to chase my dream. Not just follow my dream, I'm going to chase it. And my dream was always to be on radio, from the days of listening to David Gresham. I was about to become a chartered accountant. I had a bursary with an auditing firm. I didn't want to be an accountant. I wanted to be on radio. So I started chasing my dream. It still took many, many years of auditions, but I did it.
So when you finished varsity, first of all, so there's the nine-year-old that arrives in South Africa that ends up in Kriel, which is actually it's closer where we are than where you live at the moment. What happens next? Did you have siblings when you arrived? Did you have your mom and dad? Why did you end up in South Africa?
My mom's South African.
Right.
She's passed now, so she was South African. And she met my dad, who was a British sailor, in Simonstown on the docks.
Crazy.
Sounds like a naughty story. But they fell in love, and she went to England to marry him and was born there, lived there for 9 years. And then they decided to, in fact, with my stepdad, they got divorced and came out with my stepdad.
Wow, you came back to South Africa.
Yeah.
By the time you finished your degree and started your first radio gig, who was your support system? Who was around you to motivate you and to go follow your dreams, do what you need to do? You know, we all have that someone.
It's a very important question, and here's the answer. And some people go, really? Because they say to you, who's your inspiration? I'm an introvert. People don't know this.
I know this.
Thank you. Actually, I'm what they call an omnivert. I can toggle, because of the profession we're in, between extrovert and introvert.
Yeah.
Never pervert, just introvert, extrovert. And I look within. I look within for inspiration. So when I'm feeling doubt, I don't try and role model myself against someone else. I've got people listening can't see it. I've got the word believe tattooed on my shoulder.
That's a big tattoo.
And it's not based on religious conviction. It's believe in yourself. And I just believed in myself. I believed. I saw it happening. That was my promise when I was going through chemotherapy. I will be on radio one day, no matter how long it takes. And it took 8 years, but I got on radio.
Are you an extremist? Like, do you, if you decide you're going on a banting diet, do you go further than that? If you decide that you're going to gym, do you gym for too many hours?
No, but I do go to 100%. I don't go to 120%. But I'm absolutely, I'm either all in or I'm not in.
I say that because you're walking in here. I know how old you are. Tell everyone.
I am 50. I'm not embarrassed to say it, actually. I'm 50 and I'm loving it.
Your skin is glowing. Your arms are toned. You're a what? A 30 waist?
31.
31 waist. Mm. Your legs are so, you are in great shape and you are healthy. So I ask because how do you at age 50 still stay?
I've never been totally out of shape, but here's what I decided to do when I was 49. And I put it out there on social media because you put it out on social media and then people are checking in on you. So you can't suddenly go, oh, I'm not going to really do that anymore.
It's forever.
I said to myself, with about 2 months to go before I turn 50, I will not be a fat 50-year-old. And with that, I said, I am going to be in better shape at 50 than I was at 20.
Wow.
And I started eating a lot cleaner. I cut out the booze and managed to be in better shape at 50 than I was at 20. It's all what you put in your mouth. I didn't change my gymming at all. I go to gym. I'm not an intense gymmer, but it's all what you put in your mouth.
It is. I just ate a chocolate, so thanks for the reminder.
That, was it dark chocolate or more chocolate?
No, of course not. Rumor has it that you only have one testicle.
It's true. It's a bit of a balls up, but it's true.
Sorry, because I thought it was a rumor. That's why I asked. Is this because of cancer? I didn't mean to laugh. I am so sorry.
No, you can. I've got mates who call me gonad.
No, Mark. So
I can tell you one works as good as two. And despite the jokes, when I look at my two girls, they do actually look like me. Someone once asked me, I was doing a motivational talk.
I'm trying to get to the story, and this is so serious.
I do veer to the left a little bit sometimes. I can't walk in a straight line. How do you know
which one is gone? Do they actually name it left and right?
Well, probably they did it with a cokie at the time during the operation, but eventually I think it centers itself. So it's like a gong that just dangles. Someone asked me, I was doing a motivational talk, and someone said to me,
"I can't get it out of my head." No, man. Wait.
Little turkey waddle. Someone, someone asked me during a motivational talk, they said, my husband's going through testicular cancer.
Oh,
I want to know, because it's your manliness.
Mm.
She said, do you have a prosthetic ball? And no one in all my years had ever asked that before. What would a prosthetic ball be made of? Polystyrene.
You should have asked.
I mean, your buoyancy when you swim, you just float all the time.
I wouldn't swim.
No, I don't have a prosthetic ball. And I'm okay with only having one ball. One works as good as two, and it doesn't affect your manliness. There you go.
How come you're able to joke about it?
Because I don't care. I've got one. It works. Why do I need two? You know, when genitalia was made, I don't think aesthetics was really the priority. It was about functionality. So if anything, having one removed neatens up the package and there's more room for something else to move.
It makes you healthier, right?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I'm glad you're alive.
I'll shout from the rooftops. I'm a uniballer. I don't mind.
How were you diagnosed?
I realized something was wrong at the age of 18 when there was a swelling and it suddenly felt a bit larger than normal.
Who did you tell?
Initially, nobody, and that's part of the problem. Mm. Every day I didn't tell someone, what I didn't realize is that cancer was then spreading to other parts of my body.
Mm-mm.
By the time I went to my mum, I said, I think something's up. The cancer was in my lungs and kidneys.
Sorry.
Because as an 18-year-old, you don't want to tell anyone, especially not mum, because mum will want to have a look.
Did she?
Well, not only did she have a look, but she copped a feel, which psychologically traumatized me for a couple of years.
She is your mother.
And, yeah, within days, the ball was gone. I'm like, I've hardly used these puppies. Now you're taking one away.
Are you glad you're alive?
I'm not just glad I'm alive. I rejoice.
Wow.
It's not a state of being. It's a state of positivity.
Mm.
I embrace life. I enjoy life. I go through hardships. I'm not saying it's all airy-fairy, but I do see the positive in life. When I had a heart attack 12 years ago,
In the doctor's surgery.
It's another story. We could spend hours on it. But the point of the story being, when I came out of it, they said, do you need any psychological counseling?
Mm.
I said, I'm great. I'm happy to be alive. Mm. It's wonderful. Maybe because I had gone through a near-death experience with the cancer many years before.
Yeah.
But I was good. I'm in bonus time. How wonderful is that?
Yeah.
Ooh. You can't go, why me?
After 5FM, you start with Highfield and you are hosting a chart show.
Mm.
Was it good?
It was my baby that I nurtured. It used to be called Another Chart Show. I took it over, and we curated a new brand, and it started evolving. And then what was remarkable, for the first time for a music show, it was simulcast to another radio station. So it was simulcast onto KFM.
Right.
So I was on KFM and Highveld at the same time. If you were in Joburg, you would hear a Highveld jingle. If you were in Cape Town, you'd hear a KFM jingle. But it was all me doing it live. And technologically, it was an amazing thing to do. And it was the first music show that ever did that.
Mm.
And I loved it because I was in two markets. There were slightly different markets music-wise, but there was enough of an overlap for the chart show to work. And for 10 years, that was my baby. I loved it because that's what I wanted to do as a kid.
Mm.
I loved it.
You went from working for a public broadcaster. Now you're in another camp. What was different? Were you managed differently? Did you enjoy it more at the other radio station? What was it like?
From a public broadcaster to a privately owned radio station. I think from an administrative point of view, there's always politics.
Mm.
Wherever you are, there's always politics. And the great thing about being on radio is that you walk into the studio, you close the door, there's a whirlwind of crap that happens outside the studio.
Yeah.
And you sometimes see it through the glass, but you're insulated. We've got the nicest office in the building. We're left alone.
Mm.
And when you're on air, that's all that counts. There's always politics and there'll be disagreements. I often used to say to the station manager at the time, Ravi Naidu, and you know, you learn your lessons as you go. I was a bit cheeky at five. I played ball a little bit more in Highveld. And I'd often say to Ravi, I said, I don't maybe agree with your decision on whatever, but I respect you as my manager and I'll abide by it.
Nice.
So voice your opinion. And sometimes your opinion counts and they'll listen to you. Other times they go, it ain't going to happen that way. Okay, that's fine. It's okay. But at least I voiced it.
Do you have any regrets?
About Highveld?
About speaking up generally?
No. If anything, I should have spoken up earlier in my life. Not to be cheeky or recalcitrant. It's just about being comfortable expressing your opinion and also knowing that not everyone will agree with your opinion.
Mm.
And that's okay. But just have a voice.
That voice was silenced. It stopped.
Mm.
What happened?
I got to the point on Highveld where I realized that the music style was changing. I was becoming a bit old. That's the thing with radio as DJs. Eventually you age, but often the station will stay at the same target market or even go for a younger market. So I realized I was getting old, and I've always believed I'd rather jump ship then get pushed off the gangplank.
Okay.
So I thought, while the going's good, and it was Shadow Stevens, who used to do the American Top 40.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of his game, he quit.
Yeah. While the party's good, right?
That's it. You've got to know when to leave the party. And I thought, you know what? I'm on a good innings here. Let me go while the going's good. And I resigned. But not only did I resign, I retired from the radio industry. Because there was nowhere else to go. There was nowhere. I left Highveld and KFM at the same time. Very shortly after that, they split the chart show into two independent chart shows. And I'm glad they did, because then it changed the sound and feel. So it wasn't my baby that someone else was looking after. And I resigned. I remember my last show, I bawled like a baby on air. I was trying to be tough. But I was saying goodbye to something I love so much. But there was nowhere else to go.
Mm.
Jacaranda never offered me anything at the time. And I thought, well, that's it. I'm hanging up my headphones. And I'm still in the industry in terms of voiceovers and MC, all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But then I started a frozen yogurt store.
You went from radio to frozen yogurt?
Mm.
How much money did you put in it?
Quite a bit.
Millions?
Quite a bit. It was at the height of the frozen yogurt craze.
Was it summer?
By the time we opened the store, it was winter.
I mean, I love frozen yogurt, but not enough to open a whole...
But there was a craze a couple of years ago. There were so many Whackaberries, and then I had a smooch, and there was... People would be queuing down the block.
Mm.
And then suddenly, the market just changed overnight, and it became a lot harder. But what I realized as well is that you're either a retail person or you're not.
Mm. Are you a retail person?
No, I'm not.
Then why open a shop? Mark.
Well, it took me having the shop to know that I'm not a retail person.
You should have just phoned me, you know.
How many radio DJs have either had a DVD store or something? And you know what? But it was a nice life lesson for me in terms of how it operates.
Right.
I've got much more respect for the small franchisee that's got a shop in a shopping mall.
What was your franchisee cost?
It was quite a bit.
You're not going to tell me.
Yeah, I don't want to get into numbers. But
let me ask you this. Did you have a business partner?
I did.
Where's she? He?
He.
Where's he now?
He's still in the retail business.
Is he still your friend?
You know what's amazing? Garth and I...
Oh, he has a name.
He has a name. And I'll tell you. let me tell you something about Garth.
Sure.
So he owns a large restaurant in Rampock, Rampock Ridge, Silver Birch, which is at the Lifestyle Garden Center.
Nice.
He had a smooch. In the 2 years that we were business partners, not once did we argue. Mm. We had a very not formal relationship. I never once went to his house. He never came to my place for a braai. But when you have that trust, because you're dealing with money, it's absolutely amazing. And I don't think it happens often, but I had so much respect for Garth. And we would still be doing business now, except I decided retail wasn't for me, and that's his game. So he's still in the retail business, loving it. Me, no, not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much. I got out and I thought, that's it for me.
It's interesting that you mentioned money because it says a lot about people's character. What's your relationship with alcohol?
No, I'm trying to think about it. To give you an example, when I decided to not be a fat 50-year-old,
right.
About 2 months before I turned 50, which was just a couple of months ago, I decided, I have to cut the booze out. Not that I was a big drinker.
Mm.
I'm a social drinker. But I'd love my glass of wine at night.
Mm.
I'd love more than one glass.
Okay.
So I'd have one glass and want a second. I have a second glass, I want chocolate. I have a third glass, I want another tattoo. So, but you work it out. 3-4 glasses of wine a night.
It's a lot of sugar. And grapes, you know.
You know, so that's 28 glasses of wine a week. So I'm now down to maybe 2 glasses a week.
Okay.
It's my treat.
What's your favorite snack treat? Do you like chocolates and sweets?
I enjoy dark chocolate with nuts. Maybe the nuts because I've only got one, so there's a yearning.
are you more like a hazelnut type of person?
No, I'll take any nut.
Okay.
Any nut in dark chocolate I'll take.
Size? No, sorry, that's something else. How do you tell your business partner that you went out? How do you say, I've just invested millions in frozen yogurt. I don't want to do it anymore.
Oh, a very open, candid conversation. We just sat down and I said to him, listen, I went out.
Were you financially unstable after that?
You know, the fortunate thing is, and I think this is what happens with a lot of people that buy franchises. And I think it's an important lesson that I learned, and fortunately, I didn't dip into my life savings for the franchise.
Mm.
So, you know, I didn't put everything into it.
Mm.
So my portfolio was balanced.
Right.
So it made it a bit easier from a pressure point of view. But you've got to be careful if you go into a franchise. I often believe the people that make money in a franchise, the franchisors and the landlord.
Yeah.
The franchisee.
It's hard, Mark. Believes, it's very, very hard.
A franchisee believes, hey, I'm working for myself. No, you're not. You're an employee.
Yeah.
For the franchisor.
I looked at costs recently for a chicken business because I really like chicken. And when I saw what the margins were, I just thought it's not worth it.
For the amount of effort you have to put in, you know, for me, it's input versus output. You know, what are you getting for the hours you put in? And what is your skill set as well? Because for some people, that is their skill set. Retail wasn't my skill set. And for all they say, you should diversify your portfolio, especially as a broadcaster, get involved in other things, passive income. I realized after the frozen yogurts retail business that I wanted to bring it back home to what I love doing.
Mm.
I was still doing voiceovers, but I wanted to be back on radio. And your husband, can I say this?
Yeah. What do you want to say about him?
Besides, he's a wonderful man.
Thank you.
I have a boy crush on your husband.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why I do. And for people that don't know, he used to be the program manager of, or was it station manager?
No, he was programming
program manager. Program manager for KFM when I was there. He is one of the few people I've come across that even if he's having a bad day, He's got the ability to smile and laugh. He exudes a positive energy. It's like sunbeams coming out of his eyes. You and him often post photos together, and he's laughing, and I want to laugh and experience the joy just from that photo. That's the impact your husband has on people. And he was the one that messaged me one day about 5-6 months after I resigned from radio, and he said, "Hey, Mark, have you heard about HOT? You should join." And I said, "Tell me more." And when I heard about HOT 91.9, the station I'm with now, and the lineup, it was the old guys all getting back together. It was almost like the old 5FM.
It's a reunion. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it's remarkable. And what was great about us all getting together and starting HOT is that there were no egos.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times in radio, you build up, you build up, you build up, and you actually get a bit of a God complex.
Mm-hmm.
And only when you fall and you pick yourself up off the floor do you have the humility to appreciate what you've got, appreciate the listeners, and just go to work with a smile. And that's what we were all doing when we started HOT. It was a humility, an appreciation for what we've got. I'll never forget when Barney Simon won an award, I think Best Daytime Show, at Jacaranda a couple of years ago. I think I stood up at the HOT table even before the Jacaranda people did, because I was so proud of Barney. Yeah. I was so happy for him. And if we could just do more of that, just appreciate each other, even though we're at different radio stations. South Africa's got this mentality of, well, if I'm at MNET, I can't mention the SABC.
Mm.
You know, in America, an ABC talk show has an NBC actor on.
Mm.
And they all live together. It's cool. We should be doing more of that. So I appreciate you having me here as a HOT DJ in the Jacaranda studio. It's wonderful.
Because, Mark, it actually doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We're all in it to win it. We're all having a nice time. We're all in the playing field.
But you've said so much, and I want to say thank you, because I think you need to be very sure of your ego and your balls. Sorry, ball.
Ball.
To be able to compliment... I'm trying to be serious.
Sorry, okay, yes.
No, to be able to compliment another woman or a man. Remember... it's easy to push people down. I had it last week and actually thought about it, you know. I meditated on this. I thought to myself, people usually have the courage to do two things. They'll come up to me and go, "Oh, you're so great and your husband's so great." Or they'll come up to me and go, "Yeah, well, I actually don't like your husband." And I'm going, I wonder why they're telling me, you know.
Mm.
And I think it takes a lot. I think it takes a particular personality and ego to compliment people and to acknowledge that someone is good and that they come from good. And I want to thank you, because that's something that I learn every day, to avoid bad people and to side with good people. And I consider you a good person, and I want to be like you. And that's why you're on this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
There's young people listening to this podcast who has written to me and you asking, how do I get into this game? They really want to broadcast. They also want to speak and inspire people, and they want to be like you. What do you want to say to them?
I think it depends why you want to be on radio. A lot of people want to be on radio because they go, well, I've got good taste in music. The reality is most radio stations are formatted and you have no say in the music. So if that's your reason, maybe don't be on radio. If you feel you can make a difference in the lives of people by being you, because I think listeners know the authenticity. They know when someone's putting on a facade and a character, and they know when it's you. And the litmus test for whether you're you on air is, are you the same off air as you are on air? If you are, then you're being you, and that's wonderful. And if that's enough to put a smile on someone's face, radio is a great platform. But in terms of the technical ability, you know, you learn it as you go. You know, there's lots of academies that will show you how to use a mixing desk. But radio is not about that. Radio is not about pushing the buttons. Radio is having a conversation. Not at someone, not to someone, but you're actually having a conversation with someone. It's just that you can't hear what they say. But it's so intimately informal that it's as if the conversation is two-way. I think a lot of people that talk on stage struggle to be on radio, because on stage you're talking to people.
Mm.
Sometimes you're talking at people in a boardroom. But radio, you're conversing with someone, and that's the intimacy, and that's the magic.
Did radio afford you lots of money?
I've been able to pay the bills and open a frozen yogurt store.
Don't open a frozen yogurt store.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure what the price of a prosthetic ball would be. Maybe I need to work a bit harder for that one.
Radio- I would offer you one if I had one. But
yeah, thank you.
I'm not ballsy enough.
Radio's been good to me. A lot of people in this industry, they come and go. But I think when it truly is your passion. But also what's important about radio, and here's something for those that want to get into radio. You can be as good as you want to be on air. If you're an ass off air, you're not going to be on radio for long. You've got to play both on air and off air.
And off air.
And the problem is a lot of us are very creative. That's why we're on air. But we've got no business acumen. You've got to train yourself to have that business acumen. You're dealing with clients. You're dealing with colleagues. No one wants to be around an ass.
I say this, I'm glad you say this, because Mark walks into this building. He smiles nice. He looks great. You know that whole saying about face for radio? I hate it so much because none of us look like the metaphor, you know? We dressed up and have makeup on. And in your case, you've got a clean shirt on. You look amazing.
Yes, I showered this morning. But radio isn't as visually anonymous as it used to be years ago. People often know what their radio DJ looks like. It's press, it's social media.
Yeah.
You know, radio is very visual these days. I mean, here in the studio, there's cameras up everywhere. Yeah. So people know. It's not like the sloths of yesteryear who would be in some dark, dingy basement with greasy hair and tomato stains on their shirts, playing Jimi Hendrix. I don't know what they do.
What's wrong with Jimi Hendrix?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Bit of quick fire. Speaking of which, what's your favorite color?
Blue. Light blue. It's closer to teal.
It's quicker than that.
It's a lighter shade of blue.
Credit cards or cash?
Credit cards.
Toothbrush, manual or electric?
Absolutely electric.
Really? Do you floss?
I floss. I have got floss in my car. I've got floss in my lunchbox. I've got floss at home. I have floss everywhere. And I can even...
Oh, no. Ah, dude, he's flossing!
I'm flossing. My 9-year-old taught me that. Hang on, I pushed the chair. I've got to go get my chair. I pushed it away. My 9-year-old at school, when I drop off at school, I've sometimes done it on the playing field, and she wants to die a death.
Do they tell people at school that their daddy's Mark Pilgrim?
I think the parents know. And my daughter did say the other day, she said something to her friend, because I'm quite a strict dad. And she said, my dad is famous but very overprotective.
Yeah, they do know. It's good that they know.
Yeah.
Do you ever get asked at the school to MC? Do they call you up and say, hey, it's teacher, and can you for free come and support the – because the other mom's baked, so therefore you have to MC.
You have to give your skill set. I have actually done it once, but, you know, we sell our time. We're like plumbers. You know, you only get paid when you're working.
Do you get paid per hour, or do you have a salary?
It depends what I'm doing, because I'm involved in various aspects of the business.
How many voiceovers do you do a month?
Is that a quick fire question?
I don't know. I'm curious.
25, 30.
Wow. He's rich. When's your birthday?
Some of them for nothing. But you know what makes it easier? These days, a lot of voiceovers I do from home, because we have a home studio.
Do you have a home studio?
Yeah.
Who built it?
Well, it sounds glamorous, but it's a table with a MacBook computer and a professional mic on a stand and a bit of padding on the wall. And because I've just moved into my apartment, it's in my bedroom.
Wow.
But you can do TV
amazing
voiceovers.
Things.
And technology's improved that you don't need to have this 500,000 rand padded room.
How many TV shows have you done in your lifespan?
I think about 9.
Which was your favorite?
Big Brother.
Really?
Without a doubt.
Do one link from Big Brother and go.
Housemates, this is Mark. Hello.
Hi.
The next person to leave the Big Brother house is Elana Africa Bredenkamp. My favorite memory of Big Brother South Africa, the first one, 19 years ago, by the way, is the house was actually built inside a big kind of warehouse. So the roof of the house was actually about 4 stories high. And Mnet said, listen, for visual effects for the final evening, can you abseil down the side of the building into the garden of the Big Brother house?
Of course.
I'd never abseiled in my life. So it's Sunday morning, we're doing rehearsals, the first time I ever abseiled, and when we went live, I was like a squash bug on a windscreen, just sliding, they were just lowering me down on the rope. And my mic was on, it wasn't supposed to be, and I actually did say the F word.
Really?
I was.
You know I'm going to go look for that clip now, right?
I was.
Can we look for that clip somewhere and find?
I was more than pooping my pants. But it was a great experience.
Name the awards that you have won in your career. Were there many?
In terms of ones that I've got trophies for.
Yeah, because I always find that we have lots of nominations, but never the award, right?
I've got a couple of Crystal Awards. That was with People Magazine. I was Best right. Male Personality, I think, in 2001. I think I was Best Dressed Male Personality.
Were you ever on those glossy mags, the ones without the T-shirts? What's it called? Men's Health in that?
I was never on a Men's Health issue, but I was... With much pride, Mr. September in Nathaniel's calendar. And at the photo shoot, I remember he was having a photo taken as well. I was like a sailor on the edge of a boat,
nice.
And the wind was blowing, and I was all wet. And Nathaniel goes, oh, when I have my photo taken, I want the light from under my chin because I want to look 19 and anorexic. I learned a little photographic tip from Nathaniel.
Which other voices can you do?
That's pretty much it. Anyone lands up being Nathaniel.
Can you make an elephant sound?
Woo!
No, that
no,
is
what
not.
Was that?
Oh, no.
What was that? Was that a hippo?
Jesus!
I don't know what that was.
An elephant is more because it's like a trumpet. So it's more like, there we go, almost. A little.
Oh, there's a horse.
No! I'm over this.
So like all my voices my... sound like Nathaniel, all my animals will sound like a hippo.
Wait, I'll try.
Yeah.
See, that's...
And someone with a Nokia 1610 is trying to answer their phone right now, but it's okay.
If you... I just got up. I'm done with this. If you had to do an acceptance speech to thank people who have contributed to your career and your daughters and... Are you religious?
No.
I actually don't know.
No.
And you had to thank people. And you just won, and there was no time to prepare because I didn't tell you that I'm going to ask you this. What would your speech be?
Thank you.
You can start with good evening.
No, I'll forgo that.
don't you? Is that not what they say when they win? Hi, everyone.
I didn't expect this as they pull out a 5-page script. That's amazing. I think I would say off the cuff, thank you for giving me the inspiration and the energy to inspire others. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I'm waiting for the speech.
No, that was it.
Is there no one else you'd want to thank?
And... We were talking about this about the Oscars the other day, that one day I want someone at the Oscars to stand up and instead of thanking their producers and thanking God, just go, I want to thank myself. I did a great job.
Because they did, right?
They did. That's why they won. And my wedding speech, for all that what we do for a living, being the introvert, my wedding speech was probably the shortest wedding speech ever. I think
what
it was
did
about
you say?
I can't remember, but I just thanked a couple of people. It was about 3 minutes.
That's still very long.
I didn't want a script. I wanted to do it kind of from memory because I like making eye contact with people.
Did it work?
The marriage or the speech?
No, the speech.
I think so. People were quite surprised when I was over so quickly. People have an expectation based on what you do for a living.
Mm.
They don't realize that I'm an introvert.
Do people expect you to be funny?
I think there is a certain expectation. I think they expect you to walk in and be the loudest person in the room, which I'm definitely not.
Not, yeah. That I know that about
And
you.
I'm not shy.
No.
And I think people confuse shy
you're
with
shy.
Being introverted.
No, you're not shy.
I seek energy from within, the classic definition of an introvert.
Yeah.
And I will honestly be one of the quietest people in the room. I don't kind of stand there and blow my trumpet like an elephant.
You've done your 10,000 hours. You're an expert in the field. It's really awesome having you here. If I could make a speech and thank you, I would say the following. I would say thank you for when I was in the industry and a newbie at this, that you were kind and friendly and saw me, like actually saw me, looked in my direction and greeted me and said, hey, I see you, kid. Thank you that even after your frozen yogurt stint, you're able to talk about it and open up, because people don't like sharing their mistakes. Mm. They only want people to know their highlights, because mistakes make us seem weak and people do take advantage of that. And thank you for giving your time. Even though you get paid for it, I don't think any amount of money is enough for anyone to be exposed on radio, to share a part of themselves every day on even like a station like Hot, together with your peers. I think it's very special. And we look up to you. You are a legend. And even in your life, if you never receive a Lifetime Achievement Award, this is it right now. Because this podcast will live forever. And if they look for your voice and they go, who did the last interview with Mark? Because it won't be the last, God forbid. They will pull this up and they will hear truths out of your mouth and no one else's. And may the words that people speak about you, may it be positive. And may they speak the truth, only what they've heard from you and not from what they've seen on Facebook and on Twitter and what they've heard from other people. And may all the people that have said stuff about you in the past that couldn't wait to see you fail, may it be like a marathon. You know, when you keep running, I said this in an interview the other day. When you run, I've recently started running. When you run, you look around you at times and you see people waiting for you to finish. And then there's others that hopes that you fall. May you finish this race. You finish. Because we are watching you and I'm waiting for you right at the end, together with a whole lot of other people, holding some orange slices and a bottle of water and some electrolytes, going, you did it.
Can you add some dark chocolate with nuts?
Demands. Can you please write that down, dark chocolate?
Lana, you are a wonderful person. You know I love you.
Oh, I love you back.
I love your energy.
I'm actually emotional. I don't know why I'm crying. It's because I saw and now I have regrets because I'm not going to edit this.
I love you. You are full of energy. You are wonderful. You're extremely talented. And I thank you for having me.
You're welcome.